This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. Patients with UnitedHealthcare Insurance are now out of network at Ascension Wisconsin hospitals and clinics. The two sides failed to reach a new contract, which expired at midnight on October 1st. That means patients with UnitedHealthcare commercial, Medicare Advantage, and Medicaid plans could face higher out-of-pocket costs if they continue seeing Ascension providers. Ascension says reimbursement rates offered by UnitedHealthcare did not keep up with rising costs, but both sides say they remain open to negotiation. Starting today, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin is temporarily stopping its abortion services because of questions about a new federal law. The group is concerned President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill will deprive its patients of Medicaid coverage unless abortions are stopped. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is challenging the defunding provision in the court.
This issue was being left to the states, and yet this federal bill that was passed has now caused Planned Parenthood to stop providing access to abortion for at least a period of time here in Wisconsin.
Despite the pause, abortion is still legal in the Badger State. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley proposes a $1.4 billion budget for 2026. During his proposed 2026 budget address Tuesday afternoon, Crowley says that the county expects to generate more than $100 million next year in sales tax revenue.
Milwaukee County is expected to generate a total of approximately $192 million in sales tax revenue in 2026. Addressing pension obligation bonds reduced a significant financial drain and slowed the pace in which the county was losing money.
Crowley adds that efforts placed in the state biannual budget will reduce the amount of taxes county residents will pay for essential county services. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot
but,
of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. Always want to remind you to stream and watch us live on YouTube. We are few away from a magic number, and so we want you to go to YouTube, tell your friends, tell your family. Find at least five people. Call them. Tell them, say, hey, I want you to go to YouTube. And at 1017thetruth.com, make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell so you never miss a minute of a live show. That's all you got to do. Just go to YouTube, search 1017thetruth, and then follow us. All right? All right. I'm not going to say the word because now that I start saying it, everybody else seems to be saying it like I'm taking credit for the word hump day. Right. Want to say some things that kind of bothered me today. I hate to say it, but looking at a story from CBS 58, Ascension, Wisconsin, and United Healthcare, their contract expired. And so people in my family follow United Healthcare. They have use, pay for United Healthcare. And it expired at midnight this morning. So that means thousands of people throughout southeastern Wisconsin and wherever Ascension is will be forced to find a new doctor or get a new insurance plan. Can you imagine having a card that gives you insurance that is absolutely positively useless? There's nothing you can do. I mean, other places will take the card, but you'll have to walk in and talk to the person. Excuse me. I can't. And so how do you get your records transferred? You'll have to get your records transferred. HIPAA should handle that because your records are portable, so they should be able to get access to them. Ascension released the following statement. Ascension Wisconsin has been engaged in negotiations with United Healthcare for several months in an effort to reach a fair and sustainable agreement that supports continued access to quality care for the United Healthcare commercial Medicare and Medicaid members we serve. Despite our best efforts, we are unable to come to terms that reflect the rising cost of delivery care in today's environment. As a result, effective October 1st, which is today, 2025, Ascension Wisconsin is no longer in network with United Healthcare. This impacts patients receiving care at our hospitals, outpatient facilities, physician practices, as well as associated practices of Ascension Medical Group. Over the past few years, our caregivers have worked through extraordinary challenges to continue delivering compassionate, quality care while health insurers like United Healthcare have posted record profits. The reimbursement rates United Healthcare proposed do not adequately account for the significant financial pressure facing healthcare providers, including unprecedented inflation and rising costs for equipment and medications. These pressures are straining the healthcare system nationwide, and we must ensure we have the resources necessary to maintain and advance the high standards of care our patients expect and deserve. We recognize this change may be disruptive, and concerning for our patients. We're committed to helping those affected understand their options and continue assessing the care they need. Patients may still be able to receive care from Ascension Wisconsin providers on an out-of-network basis, cost more, or may have additional choices during open enrollment. While our current agreement with United Healthcare has not been renewed, our commitment to delivering compassionate, and it goes on and on and on and on in flowery language. So, bottom line, I'm not really concerned about the people that have commercial healthcare. Your company pays, you pay, you get healthcare. You can switch over to another healthcare facility, another hospital, and get healthcare. Will it be a pain? Yes. Will it be an issue? Yes. Will it cause undue stress? Absolutely. But the bottom line is, it's going to cost you more. So my question is, what's the profit and loss for Ascension, Wisconsin? I mean, hospitals are nonprofits, right? So if a hospital is a nonprofit, then the hospital shouldn't be worried about making money and having money on the books. They should be worried about, well, I guess that makes too much sense. And so now we have government shutdown, inflation. It's not bad, but it's starting to creep up. I think people are tacking on inflated costs to take advantage of it to say that's why their prices are higher. Meanwhile, everybody has record profits. So someone is a little disingenuous. I'm thinking the business is. We'll tack on a fee. We'll tack on excess. We'll blame inflation when inflation really doesn't touch that particular business in a meaningful way. And so now we sit here and we pay more and we pay more and people make less and they make less. But all the people at the top, all of management gets paid very well. Will they come to an agreement? Who knows? Who knows? I can't say who's right and who's wrong. Insurance companies are there to make money. Part of the issue we have in America is that we've got a middleman or a middle organization called the insurance company. And doctors get paid as much as they get paid. Medical doctors get paid as much as they get paid because you don't really see the full cost. But I guarantee you, if you pay the full freight of the cost of healthcare, you would definitely cause prices to go down. And so we sit. And I dare say that at this time, there needs to be a meeting of the minds of the politicians on a local, county, state, and federal stage where we have to do that thing that I hate to say, but I think it's time to think about that thing we call, well, universal healthcare.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. I want to take a peek at the weather and see what exactly is going on today. Right now it's 70 degrees, 15 minutes after the hour. Low tonight is 59. Winds are from the west-southwest at about 9 miles an hour. So there's about a 1% chance of rain. Tomorrow, what's going on tomorrow? Tomorrow, waiting for my really fast computer to load. Oh, it didn't even give me. It's because I clicked the wrong button. Duh. Thursday, the high is 75, low 62, partly cloudy. With a 4% chance of rain. Friday, 83, mostly sunny. And then Saturday, it's 82 degrees, sunny, but there's also 11% chance of rain. Looks like rain's going to come next week around Tuesday or so. So make sure you take your little raincoat. And it's weird because depending on where you go in the city or the county, it can be really nice and warm and really, 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 so I got a question. I got a question. But you know, I got a story to go along with the question. From blackenterprise.com, seniors at a Washington, D.C. charter school are being paid to perform better in class. So let me tell the story. When I was in college, I was at Illinois State University. And I got into Illinois State University at the time. Under regular admissions. Now, sometimes they would let people in that didn't have the grades, that wasn't quite up to par, and they had programs that would help you. And there was a program there called High Potential Students Program, HPS. And I've told this story before. So they wanted to pay you like, you know, $100 for an A, $75 for a B, $50 for a C. Now, even at the time, and I think when I transferred to Illinois State, I was 21 years old. It took me 6 years to get my degree because I transferred and took some classes, dropped some classes. You know, when you don't have anybody in your family and you're all contemporary and you're all in school together, you really don't have anybody that's there to say, hey, what are you doing? If you want to get out in 4 years, you need to do such and such. Well, for me, I'm not really a we going to follow 4 years guy. I'm a graduate from college, whether you're 18 or 80. So that being said, I went to the program, and after about a semester, I started scratching my head going, okay, so help me with something. Help me. Help me. So I went to go see the person who was my quote-unquote advisor, still remember to this day. And I said, why am I in this program? And she said, basically, because you're black. I said, no. I get that, but why am I in this program? You know, she kind of looked at me, and she said, because you're black. Then you need help. I said, help with what? Well, you know, school. I said, is it for people with academic probation? She said, no. I said, is it for people who... So I went through this litany of questions, and I'm like, okay, so I don't fit any of these criteria. Well, you know, sometimes we let people in, and it's provisional or whatever it was, and we work with them, and they may not be able... I said, but that's not me. I got it under regular admission. She said, really? I said, yeah, really. Like, this black woman was shocked that a black person had the grades to go to school. So I went in, I talked to her, said, no, I don't want to do this. She looks at my grades and goes, well, yeah, you did get in under regular admissions. I'm like, why would I lie? You're an advisor. You have access to my grades. And it took me out the program. But it was a program that paid you money. In my brain, I'm like, aren't you in school to actually learn? Why are we paying to learn? I don't understand that. Well, a new program at a charter school in Washington, D.C. aims to pay high school seniors $50 a week in an effort to help them perform better in class. But the question is this the best approach? This is from Sherelle B. McNair on blackenterprise.com. 40 seniors at Digital Pioneers Academy, a high-performing, tuition-free public charter school, will participate in the $50 study, donating $50 per week for a total of 40 weeks, totaling $2,000 per student. The students will be selected at random through a lottery. Students have until October 3rd, which is a couple more days, Friday, to apply, and those chosen will participate and receive funds on reloaded debit cards. That part I have a problem with. Like, if you were going to take the money and invest it into a 403B, a 401K, or a college fund or something, I'm good with it. Anyway, I digress. Of their 100 students, nearly 70 have already expressed interest. The nonprofit curated the program in collaboration with research conducted by the University of Pennsylvania Center for Guaranteed Income Research. And there's the rub, guaranteed income, which showed measurable results. Data showed that paid programs resulted in an improvement in school attendance. So here's my question, Glenn. If I paid you $50 a week to go to class, would you go?
I wouldn't need the money.
That's not what I'm asking.
Yes, I would go to class.
Okay, $500.
I could teach the class for $500. I would know the lesson plan before the teacher did.
So my question is this something we need to bring to MPS? Is this something we need to do to incentivize? Now, me personally, I think $50 a week is too much. I would make it on your grade. I would pay you for your attendance. Oh, you came to school? Boop, that's a dollar. Because think about this. 210 days, that's $210. For every day you come to class, for every day until you have perfect attendance, you get a dollar. But if you're in high school and you got nine periods, you need to go to nine periods. And once your attendance is verified, and I do it electronically, boom, you're in. Which means you'd have to train up teachers so that, yeah, I know you don't like that kid, but you need to do the right thing. Can't ever pass up to a time to holler at teachers. What are your thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. Would you use your tax dollars to pay for kids to go to school? You're already paying for them to go to school. You're paying for everything anyway. Would you give them an additional amount? If so, how much? But would you give kids an additional amount in high school to learn? Now, personally, I think it's your right. I also think it's your privilege to learn. You live in a country where they pay for your education. Now, you have to go to school. Like, it's compulsory up until age 16. Then if you want to drop out, knock yourself out. But I don't think there should be any programs in place that if you decide to drop out and you don't have an education, you don't have a high school diploma, and you don't have any usable skills to generate an income for yourself, that the government should take care of you. I don't agree with that. But at some point, what are the unintended consequences to this? Will parents take the card? Will kids buy candy and gum and books or trade it for drugs? And we're not talking just black kids. We're talking white kids, Hispanic kids, Asian kids, Native American kids, all kids. If we were to do that at MPS, would it work? Because nothing else seems to work. Nothing else seems to bring children to school. Should we do it in college? I don't know. I don't know. I'm torn. However, I think it might work. But there has to be a mechanism that makes it equitable for all kids, not just one group. Now, granted, eventually somebody's going to scream and holler about, well, my child's not in school, my child's working, how come my child can't get no money? I look at it more as an incentive and a reward for doing something. Now, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Your job as a child is to go to school. You don't need a part-time job. You don't need to be going out, going everywhere. You need to be in class or you need to be studying so that you can graduate. Will an incentive help? Because nothing else seems to help. Nothing else seems to drive children to want to go to school because they don't feel that there's a return on your investment. Because we've raised kids in a social media era, they get instant gratification. If I want to know something, I search. If I want to talk to somebody, I text. If I want to learn about something, I watch TikTok, unfortunately. And TikTok is a great medium as long as it's used in a proper way and the information on there is vetted, but it's not. And now we have this instance where we might be able to get some students to go to school and pay attention. Now, other schools have done this. Other schools have done this. Some critics say that the programs are expensive and can perpetuate an anti-working narrative. Data shows that the programs have added value to students' lives. I don't really know what that means. In 2024, the Social Justice School, a charter school in D.C.'s Northeast Side, collaborated with Mothers Outreach Network, an anti-poverty organization, to test the idea, and 15 families received $800 a month for 3 months. Myron Long, the Academy's executive director and founder, supported the data. Some student families were able to purchase a car. Others bought a washer and a dryer for their home. Long said parents of past participating students call the program's fund a stress reliever. So now, City Council in Washington, D.C., Democratic member Zachary Parker announced plans to introduce legislation this month to create a program that allows other schools to provide students with financial assistance. I don't know if that's going to be good. I don't know. You tell me. 833-212-1017. Would you allow your child to be paid to go to school? And you know that mamas and daddies are going to be taking that money, right? You know they ain't going to get that money. And if I'm 14 years old and you give me $50, that's gold. That's like giving an adult $500. That's gold. Until they get robbed. Until you get stuck up for your card. Or, hey, I lost my card. Hey, I got robbed. Can I get another card? Like, what are the mechanisms in place? I don't know. The data seems to say it works. Me? I don't know.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Feels good. Feels good.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $295 a month with 0% interest up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. Going to hit the talk and text line. Hey, what's up, Mal? Not really a city girl. Kwanda, what's going on? Babar. Willie. Thank you, sir. He said, what's up, Ken? Love the show. Who else is up? Then they start talking to each other and just forget about me. I thought it was Truth in the Afternoon. It's Truth on the YouTube chat. 833-212-1017 is the number. I want to say congratulations while I have time to the ladies of, well, hang on. Click the wrong one. I want to say congratulations to the ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. They unveiled a campus monument and donated $1.9 million to the university. Members gathered for the event, which cemented the legacy of the sorority's 117-year history. It took place on the 24th of September and honored their history with Howard University. That's where they were founded and their Alpha chapter resides. The monument features the sorority's letters, founded in 1908. Portraits of some of its members located in the valley on Howard's campus. It was first conceived in 2023, and the monument was funded through member donations. Very cool. They presented Howard with a check for $1,908,000. I know everything there was pink and green, everything. So I want to say congratulations to the ladies. That was a phenomenal move. That's something we need to do, all of us. We need to, like, give money to or have organizations give to nonprofits. Kwanda say, always about the chat. Really? That hurts my feelings. Hey, what's up, Dimitri? LT, it's all about the chat. Hurt my feelings. Y'all make me feel so bad. You know, I do all this work and log in and do all this stuff, and yeah, I don't even treat me bad. Now, you know, I was traveling over the weekend. I took a really quick trip, and I saw a story by Daniel Johnson on Black Enterprise. Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy. You know who that is? Anybody know who that is? Lieutenant Colonel George Hardy, the last surviving Tuskegee combat pilot, Tuskegee Airman. He died. He was 100 years old. According to Leon Butler, National President of the Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated, his legacy is one of courage, resilience, tremendous skill, and dogged perseverance against racism, prejudice, and other evils. We are forever grateful for his sacrifice and will hold dear to his memory. Can you imagine being born 100 years ago and seeing the things that changed over the years? He was a veteran of three wars, flew 136 combat missions. Think about that. Took and completed the Army Air Corps pilot training program in 1942 at age 19. He had a commission as a second lieutenant and was one of few black pilots in the military at the time, flew 21 missions during World War II, and served during Korea and Vietnam. It was called the Tuskegee Experiment, not to be confused with the Tuskegee Syphilis Study. And to determine whether black Americans were able to command and maintain their own in a battle. I mean, think about that. You're black, living at a time where you've learned to love the country that you live in, regardless of what people say, and you want to serve in the military knowing that one day you might meet the ultimate sacrifice and give your life for the country, to die for a country you believe in. And they don't want you. I mean, you know, we had to follow the rules and give you a commission as second lieutenant, but we don't really think like you're black. Think about that. You are black and you are not worthy to die for your country. Only white guys can die. Think about that. Pilots, bombardiers, maintenance and support staff, instructors, everybody. They had to teach themselves, teach each other. 11 white officers were assigned to teach 429 men who enlisted alongside 47 officers. It was the first integrated unit in the United States military. Interesting. The Department of Defense in 1925 said that black people, the War Department, the Negro was fundamentally inferior to whites. Used race science, that they lack requisite intelligence, courage, and physical ability to operate complicated military equipment. Now he passed away as a lieutenant colonel. I love proving people wrong. 833-212-1017 is the number. Al, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing good and hope everybody is well. I think that would be great if you give that to, like, high school, because it would kind of get them into a routine of, like, you know, going to work, and maybe that can help them get, like, their first savings account or checking account. My only downside is, and this is not, you know, not really important, but it's the only downside is, you know, you might have them parents who feel like now their kid is working, they can pay all the bills in the house and they feel they can do less, you know, because they see the kids making money. And yes, the kids should contribute to the house, but you do have, you know, some of them kind of parents where they want them to pay all the bills while they try to pay next to nothing.
That is true.
You know, but
it's also not a lot of them, though. I mean,
no, I mean, I understand that, and I know it's not a lot of them, but it's just like maybe in the process of, you know, you know, they're doing that, they can, like, sit down with the young woman or young girl and say, this is for the benefit of you. And right. so you can go ahead, and it's not your responsibility to try to pay every single bill in the house because you only get so much a month. You know what I mean? So when they do get to a certain point and they get ready to graduate, mm-hmm. they will have something where the one person won't say, correct. Well, I'm your mama now. I could rape your bank account. Or the daddy who say, well, you can pay all this and pay all that. And then you walking around here with nothing.
Well,
so
well do you
that's
think,
my only thing.
Well, do you think it'd be better to just keep it and save it for them? So when they graduate, it's a graduation present.
That would be great too. Or give them a little stipend at the end of each month.
Yeah, but it's the same you know. Thing. They'll, you know, mama said you better bring that money home. Daddy said I want that well, yeah, money then, when you just, get it. So,
well, just keep it to the end of the year, and then it'll do them better. So when they get ready, if they want to run like hell and get their first apartment, they don't have to worry about trying to pay everybody bills in the house who grown and able body. But I think that'd be a great idea.
All right, thank
have
you.
Have a good day.
All have right. a good one. And I mean, it's something that we need to look at. Is it? I don't know. I mean, suburban communities don't do it. They also, when their kids graduate from high school, get cars. Like you go to college and you bring a car with you. You go to college and do all those things. Now, in the land of transparency, both of my daughters had cars when they became juniors in high school. Nope. Let me rephrase that. My first daughter, when did she get her car? Junior year? Senior year? I think she got in her junior year. And my youngest, because my daughter already had a car, it got handed down to her when she went to high school. So that was the incentive. I mean, it is. 833-212-1017 is the number. Dimitri said, did I hear about the government shutdown? Yes, I heard about it. Not only did I hear about it, I talked about it. Kwanda said, Dr. Ken, hurt my feelings each time you miss conversations in the chat, then come back replying to God knows what the time. Get back to the chat. So to be a part of the chat, must keep up. And I told her, I have a show to do, and I can't scroll through the chat and see everything. And I told her to keep the comments on point. That's her job. It's your job, Kwanda. What's wrong with y'all? Africa said, good evening, Dr. Ken and chat family. John, great comment. A lot of high schools offer something like work release for junior and seniors at We Energy and other jobs. And once they graduate, they have full-time jobs. I get that. But we're talking about incentivizing learning. If you come to school, go to class, get at least a C plus, maybe, you know, 2.5 grade point average, you get $50. But I would say marking period is like 10. I don't know if they call them marking periods or whatever they call it, semesters. Or, if you've got four of those over the course of 40 weeks, every 10 weeks you get grades. At the end of that, if it's 10 weeks and $50, that's $500 right there that you would get. But I would put it in an account and you don't get it until either the end of the year or the end of your high school career. That's just me. Because I'm telling you, if you influx that money into a kid's life, they might lose their mind. They might lose their mind. And so Dimitri asked me about the shutdown. How long is this supposed to last? I don't know. Curly Q said that commentary about the Tuskegee Airmen and you reading that remark from the Department of War back in the 20s sounds familiar, kind of familiar to the remarks at and about the meeting in Quantico this week. And that was with the generals and the command staff of the Department of War and all the military branches. Some of that I agree with. Some of it, You still got to have women in the military because they're going to be there. You still got to have standards for women and standards for men. Men and women are not different. And basically, if you can toe the line, you make it into the military. And if you don't toe the line, you can't. Before the Biden administration, under Obama, Bush, Clinton, Reagan, Nixon, if women were in the Army, they had to hold their own. And they held their own. Women can do what men can do in the military. I'm just saying. They may not be as strong, but some of them are, and those that can do. And so I don't know if we need to change the rules to the point to exclude women, or do we need to just make it a viable pathway for them to be in the military? I know a lot of women that were in and are in the military. Then John goes on to say, what about the struggling kids? That's not the school's job to take care of struggling kids. That's their parents' job. Struggling kids see the good kids getting a check. Will there be a conflict? If you don't get the grades, you don't get it. You don't give out. See, this is that. You know what? Let me stop. When we come back, I'm going to answer John's question.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Let this play until now. She's not my favorite artist at all. Not close. But I like this song. I like this song. 833-212-1017 is the number. So John was saying basically that some kids don't have parents. They are parents taking care of themselves and their siblings. I don't understand what that has to do with you going to school and getting paid or not. It is not the government's job or the school's job to take care of those kids. It's the parents. So, because a kid is struggling, like, what do you mean struggling? I don't understand what you mean by struggling. Bottom line, you're there to go to school. Yes, some kids don't have parents, but. How was that? Like, I mean, once you start categorizing and all that, the bottom line is you go to school, you get the grades, you get the attendance, you get the money. If you don't, you don't. Like, whether you're struggling or not is irrelevant. I struggled and I didn't get jack. Your behind need to go to school, go to school. It's that participation trophy we give people. Well, they were all there. So, no, you didn't win. You did not win. You did not get a prize. You win, you get a prize. That's it. Because now you're bringing kids up to think everybody's going to get something no matter what. No, that's not how life works. And when you go to work, because somebody else got a raise, you don't get a raise. Because somebody else got paid more to you, you don't get paid more. Makes no sense to me. And that's the mentality that we bring to children, and then children pick it up. Society reflects it, and then we wonder why kids today are just weak. Weak-minded, weak in working, weak in struggle, weak in resilience, weak in, and I'm generalizing, of course, because not all of them, not even probably 20% of them are like that. But the 20% that are, that's a problem. When did we stop rewarding people for success? Why is it people are mad that other people win? And, oh, they'll see the good kid. You can be a bad kid and have good grades. I've seen it. straight, thugged out, everything, but got good grades. Because intelligence is not restricted to good kids. Intelligence is not restricted to bad kids. Good people and bad people. It's universal. It's something you're born with. And I think those are the things that we forget. We like to look at what people do, and we like to look at what we want people to do instead of looking at their natural abilities and saying, these are the things that you need to do. These are the things that you need to pursue, because that way you'll learn better. But for some reason, we have this issue with one person having something and somebody not having it. That's how life is. That is how life goes. And if we don't start to help our children understand that, this world is going to become significantly more tough, or should I say tougher, than it already is now. We don't know how to say no. We don't know how to tell people, no, you can't have that. No, you can't do that. Interesting. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. We'll get more into this after Top 5 at 5.